On our Sunday afternoon services, we've been taking a look in the Scriptures, this thought of how to not cultivate rebellion in our children. We have a great blessing in our children. The Lord's the Scripture says, indeed, that the children are a blessing, a heritage from the Lord, and are what can compare? What can compare to the blessing of children in our lives? The thing is with children, as parents, grandparents, those connected, those family that are in the position of authority over children, we've got a great responsibility there. A great blessing and a great responsibility and challenge, all wrapped up there into one. You and I know that, and we've seen it, we've experienced it in our own lives, that for our children, things that we would hold to and stand in and say that that's just going to be the way it is for the sake of our children, we'll let down. Can let down. And the thing is, as we saw this morning, our Lord says that if we don't love our Lord supremely and first, we're not worthy of Him. And so we have this challenge, and we need lifted up. We need built up and assured and be steadfast in what the Lord has given us in His Word. Last time we took a look at this aspect and this subject, and the title that I had is Look Out, Parents. Our children will do worse than us. We have to be aware of that. Our children, just this morning, one of the Sunday school teachers told about an occasion where one of the ones in their class was watching and wondering why they were doing something or not doing something. Because they're always watching. They're always watching about what's going on, and they have questions, and they learn from us. They learn from what we do. We pray that they'll learn from what we say, but they indeed learn from what we do. That's where our children really learn. We took a look at Brother David, and I love Brother David. We should love Brother David. He's our brother, and he's there with the Lord, and look forward to meeting him one day. But there, just in a very short span, he coveted. He committed adultery. He lied. He murdered. And he stole another man's wife. Just that quick. A man after God's own heart. We need to understand and realize that you and I are subject to every temptation that is out there. And every one of us are. None of us are bulletproof to that. We're not. That's the reason we need to be wise. We need to take guard in things. We need our behavior and our deportment to be good and right, to protect ourselves and our own reputation. Brother Nathan came to David and posed to him a parable about two men, and he declared unto them, even in David in his wrath, about what the man would be required of him in taking the poor man's one sheep. He said to David, "You're the man. You're the man, David. That's what you've done." We found there that David was repentant. Well, David was repentant. And Brother Nathan told him that the Lord has taken your sin away. He's removed it, but the sword's not going to leave your house. And from Bathsheba, the woman that he took to be his wife, there was a child that was born, and the child of that first child's life was required by the Lord. And we have that blessing and understanding from the Lord. David said, "Well, now that he's dead, he can't come to me, but I can go to him." And so we have that from the Lord, that those that are of that young age, the Lord takes care of that division of accountability before the Lord. There's no certain age at hand, but we know that there is that time of innocence from that the Lord takes care of those, you know. The wickedness of man, in the wickedness of men in this world, there's been much abortion, hadn't there? But you know what? In the power and greatness of the Lord, not justifying one abortion, it's not justifiable. But in the wickedness of man, our Lord is merciful, and those children are there with our Lord. I believe that that's the case from what we learned from Brother David. So now we take a look at the son that was born of Bathsheba, the second son, Brother Solomon. I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3. A lot of reading in this message, because I just can't say it any better than what the Scripture says. And so we need to take a look. It's a skim over view of Brother Solomon and how the Lord worked in him and his life. A great promise was made to David. that he wouldn't build the temple, but Solomon would. And on Wednesday afternoon, evenings rather, we're taking a look about how Tyre was involved in the provision for the materials for the temple. And that, and we read there this past Wednesday where it wouldn't be David that would build it, because the Lord used David and it was in a bloody way, but to defeat the enemies of Israel. But it would be Solomon. He'd give him a son. He was loved of the Lord, and Solomon is his name. In 1 Kings chapter 3, we see here this. 1 Kings chapter 3, and any of this that we read, I ask you, do your ears perk up? Why do they perk up? Do they perk up for a reason? 1 Kings 3, verse number 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in his statutes, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." You hear that? That's what the Lord said. Now I wonder about the Lord Jesus Christ, but we know from among men, none wiser before or after Solomon. Wow. "I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways," did you hear that? And if. This man has responsibility just like you and I have responsibility. "If thou will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Then came there two women that were harlots under the king and stood before him. I don't know if you know this account. One of them they both have children. One of them dies at night. The one whose child dies steals the one that's living from the other woman and lays her child in the bosom of that other. And the woman wakes up and finds this child dead, but it's not her child. She knows that her friend, her acquaintance here, has stole her child from her, and that she's claiming is now her own, and has made this transfer, this exchange. They end up before Solomon, and Solomon indeed is given wisdom in this. He says, "Oh, okay, They can't agree about whose child is the living child. Come here and divide it, soldier. Sergeant of arms. Come here and divide the child and give them both half. You know what the woman that had made the exchange did? She said, yeah, do that. Because she didn't want that woman's child to live either. But the woman who is the mother of the child said, no, let her have the child. It's okay. It's all right. I withdraw my petition and my request from the king. And from that, the king knew whose child it was. We see here our brother's prayer before the Lord and the Lord blessing that. In 1 Kings chapter 8, we come to this time. The temple has been built, and we see this. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse number 1, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the hands of the tribes of the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark, and they brought up the ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, and to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand a minister because of the cloud. They couldn't physically get there because the cloud, the presence of the Lord, was nudging them and pushing them away. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. What a sight. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and with his hand fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thy heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son shall come forth out of thy loins. He shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake. And I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Verse 21, and I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. Look at that posture. This is the king, and for the most part, his heart is right at this time. And he's not bashful. He's not bashful to be subservient to the Lord of heaven. He's not bashful to praise him in the sight of the people. He's not bashful in the presence of the people to be with the people as the servants of God. And he's glorifying God and has been used to build this place. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or in earth beneath. Understand this about prayer. Who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee in all their heart. Who hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, that thou spakest also with thy mouth, and has fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that thou promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man of my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to this his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today. That thine eyes may be open toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken now to the supplication of thy servant, and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. If any man trespass against his brother, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, that when thou hear in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest unto their fathers. When heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray towards this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon thy land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blasting mildew, locust, or there be caterpillar, or if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatsoever plague, whatsoever sickness there be, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man, or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, and spread forth his hand toward this house, then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and do, and give to every man according to his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou, even thou only, knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee all the days that they live in the land which thou gavest our fathers. Moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake, for they shall hear of thy great fame, great name, and of thy strong hand, and of thy stretched out arm, when he shall come and pray toward this house. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee, as do thy people Israel, and that they may know that this house which I have builded is called by thy name. And if thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives into the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them away, carry them captives, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, who have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions, wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and to the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them and all that they call for unto thee. For thou dost separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all the prayer, all of this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees. He started off with his hands raised. He ended up being on his knees. I wonder about that. I wonder when that transition took place, at the beginning as he began to pray, somewhere in the midst of it as he was petitioning the Lord. I tell you, it's a great chapter to understand about prayer and how Brother Solomon, he took into account possibilities that could be known that would befall and happen to the children of Israel, and that if they would pray to the Lord, that he beseeched the Lord in advance that when they pray that the Lord would hear them and help them. From kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven, and he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people, Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him. Hear that? To walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and there is none else, and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments, as it is as at this day. And the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. The same day did the king hallow the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. And there he offered burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar that was before the Lord was too little to receive the burnt offerings and meat offerings and fat of the peace offerings. And at that time, Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt, before the Lord our God, 7 days and 7 days, even 14 days. On the 8th day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went into their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David, his servant, and for Israel, his people. Tell you what, if that doesn't bless your heart, something's wrong. I mean, that was, the Lord had brought it to pass. And repentance and submission to the Lord. In 1 Kings chapter 9, we read here what the Lord said. And it came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he appeared unto him in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Verse 4, and if thou wilt walk, did you hear that? And if thou wilt walk, son, you're still responsible. There's been a great blessing. There's been a hearing of your supplication, a working in your father and in you of me. But if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever. As I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye and or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and to this house? Verse 9, and they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. And it came to pass, at the end of 20 years, when Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house. Now Hiram, the king of Tyre, had furnished Solomon with cedar trees and fir trees and with gold, according to all his desire. That then King Solomon gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee, which we'll touch upon that Wednesday. So we see the prayers of Solomon. The Lord asks him what he wants. And he says, give me wisdom. We see the dedication of Solomon in building the temple to the Lord, as it had been ordained by the Lord. It was in the heart of his father, and as he charged him to do so. And we see the Lord being pleased with that, being honored with that, and being glorified in that indeed. We see the Lord's promise that in that great time, in that highest of times, in King Solomon's reign, and being involved to lead the people and the building of such, and that the glory, the Shekinah glory of the Lord came down and was and dwelt in that place like it did the tabernacle. We see the charge, the promise to Brother Solomon there in 1 Kings 9. And sad to say, we see in chapter 11 our Lord's promise kept. Verse number 1 of chapter 11 in 1 Kings. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, which we read early on, didn't we? Women of the Moabites, Ammonites. We've studied about them, haven't we? Lot's children. Edomites, Esau's offspring. Zidonians. We're touching on them now, the inhabitants of Tyre and Sidon, and the Hittites, descendants of Canaan. Of the tribes concerning which the Lord had said in the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. We saw in chapter 3 that Solomon made an affinity with Pharaoh and took his daughter to wife. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, Moses preaches there to the children of Israel so many hundreds of years ago, and he declares what the Lord stands by and declare to the children. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, the inhabitants of the land, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, not affinity, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take to thy son. But Brother Solomon thought he could go his own way. thought that he wouldn't be ill affected by it, didn't he? And in this, we see the beginning of his fall. In chapter 11 of 1 Kings, verse number 3, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord, his God, his Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Listen. Did we not read in Exodus 20, verses 3 through 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me? We sure did. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. We sure did. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. But here he is. Here he is. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians. Yeah, those folks up there are Tyre and Sidon. Hiram's crowd and those that ruled and reigned up there. These same Zidonians, King Ahab of Israel takes a wife. You know her name, Jezebel. And you know how, you understand from the scripture how she was, don't we? And after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab in the hill that is before Jerusalem. Zion? Olives? He built that there. Right there in view of the temple that he had built. And for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. These gods known, we know historically and understand that this reference of them being willing for their children to pass through the fire, they would have children birthed to them so they could offer them in sacrifice to these pagan, wicked, devilish gods. Brother Solomon is financing the effort, directing the effort. In 2 Kings chapter 23, we hear here of the work of a man by the name of Josiah, king of Judah, that had been prophesied many years before that he would come. We read the short account here in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 12 through 14. And the altars that were on top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord. See, in time, Solomon's sons, grandsons, great-great-grandsons, great-great-grandsons, on down the line, started bringing that stuff from outside of the temple and even bringing it into the temple. Abominations right there in the courtyard of the temple, and maybe even in the temple itself. Brother Ezekiel speaks to us about those things. Manasseh had done so. Did the king beat down, this is speaking of Josiah, and break them down from thence and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron, which runs there by the temple on the Temple Mount on the east side. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, right hand of the Mount of Corruption, if I'm understanding that, that's over there at the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives, where our Lord resorted to there in Gethsemane, where very possibly our Lord may have been crucified on up there by the fortress of Antonio if they crossed over the brook and had their execution there rather than what's traditionally believed, where our Lord Jesus indeed will come back. Solomon built these abominations, and it wasn't until the day of Josiah, some hundreds of years later, that they were finally destroyed. The high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon, the king of Israel, had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians, and for Chemosh, the abominations of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. What do you think about the report of the heathen? Yeah, Hiram, he brought all that stuff to David and brought all that stuff to Solomon. But in the end, Solomon proved out he's no better than us because he liked our God too. The whole world looking in awe of the rebellion of the Lord's nation because of one man. Because of one man. And for Chemosh, the abomination of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Verse 14 of 2 Kings 23. And he brake in pieces the images, cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men. We come back here to 1 Kings 11. We pick it up in verse number 8. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, building the places, 1 Kings 11, verse 8. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrifice to their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God to Israel, of Israel, which had appointed, which had appeared unto him twice, which we have seen about. And had commanded him concerning this thing, told him, warned him about this very thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Watch out, parents. Our children are subject to do worse than us. It was bad and sinful against God what David did. It was sure bad and sinful what Solomon did too, wasn't it? Now in this, we didn't see about what it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What do you think's going on down there at Chemosh's place or Milcom's place? How is it with the heathen of our day, the unbelievers that reject God and reject anything about God? See, if you've ever noticed, nobody goes around cussing and swearing and taking my name in vain. You know why? I have no power, no ability. It's no threat. It's no blasphemy to take my name in vain. But God Almighty, He has power, doesn't He? And the heathen have always been about taking the Lord's name in vain and cursing in His name. What do you think about the worship of Ashtoreth and all that? You reckon that they just stayed away from the name of Jehovah God? I tell you what, people being people, I doubt it. I don't have a verse to prove it, but we know how the heathen are and how it is with the way of Satan. Satan is an imposter and an impersonator. Satan is one that wants to lead away from the Lord. Satan wants to take and cast darkness on the Lord and bring light upon himself. Indeed, he's guilty of not of having other gods before the Lord and not in making graven images and bowing down to them. What do you think about the Sabbath day? You think over there at Molech's temple and where the place of worship for him was, or of Ashtaroth and all that, you reckon they reckoned the last day of the week as the Lord had commanded? I doubt it. The Sabbath day was corrupt there in Jerusalem, of all places, not down the road, but right there. Right there. And then this last one, in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother. In all this, did Solomon honor David? In his end, did he honor his father and being obedient to him? No. You know, there's a verse that's there in Proverbs that even if we understand it right, Brother Solomon may have wrote. Maybe it might be other brethren, but it's there in the book of Proverbs. You know what it says in Proverbs 27:10? Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. And Solomon did so, didn't he? He forsook the best friend his father has. Has, not had, has. We need to watch out. Our children are watching us. And did you hear that, what the Lord said to Solomon? I'm not going to rend it out of your hand in your day. I'm going to rend that out of the hand of your son, Rehoboam. David was promised that the sword would never depart out of his house, and it didn't. Solomon was supposed to be a king of peace, and supposed to be a time of peace his entire reign. You know what happens after this? You can read there in the scriptures that the Lord brought up this enemy, that enemy, and the other enemy that just plagued Solomon. Wealthiest nation in the world, we understand. The greatest and most capable nation in the world, and he couldn't swat down his enemies. And his own servant rebelled against him, and the kingdom was divided. All because of what one man did. May our Lord help us. May our Lord help us to live for our Lord, to ask our Lord to help us to live for Him, and to be faithful and true unto Him in every way. You know what? We all face in any and every temptation. And may our Lord help us to learn from this word. If you're here and you're not saved, this really hadn't been a message to you directly about the need of your soul and such, but we declare unto you that the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the Son of God, came down and became a man some 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life. He's not of our descendancy from the standpoint of his Father, because God Almighty is his Father. He does connect with us through Mary. She is a daughter of Adam, and the Lord Jesus very much became a man. I marvel in that, and I not struggle. That's not really the right word, but it's just amazing how the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, at a time was not a man, but then he became a man, and that's a testimony continually of what he came to do for sinners like you and me. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him and His gospel. His death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. Without Him, you have nothing. But with Him, you have it all. Even eternal life and forgiveness of sins.